Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Maddie B. I always mess up the intro with like some mush mouth stuff where I can't quite get the show out, but you know what you're listening to. Getting some great feedback from some listeners, and they asked about bringing back the videos that we were doing last football season, posting them like on Facebook and YouTube and stuff. So you can follow our show, Southbound Sports, on Facebook, Instagram. I think I brought the Instagram back up. It might have been down for a bit because I was like experimenting. I checked out that Threads thing, which was a joke. There was like nobody on there. And then YouTube, Southbound Sports. So follow us on there. You can go to our website, southboundsports.com. I think I have links to all of them. If not, I'll add them. Where you can get that extra content. We do it on the pre-show. If you want to see the whole show live, you can subscribe on the Patreon and get the live feed that we do every Tuesday at 9 p.m. But football season's back, so we have some extra content coming in through there. And I love hearing feedback on the show. So let us know if there's other things that you like, you want us to bring back. We try so many different things, I never remember what we do. But we're going to be getting some more content coming back out now that football's back and we're officially out of the off season. So Matt, you want to go ahead and give us the update first? How are things been going with your team?
Well, we have good news to report this week. We had our opening game for our first and second grade flag team. We were practicing Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And in our practice last Thursday, I thought, I have no idea what to expect out of the game. We're going through warm-ups. Like, I don't know how we're going to do. First play, we take a sweep to the house. Kids played phenomenal. We got that a first dub. 1-0 on the flag season.
Did they keep score on the team?
Yep. We were herding cats. It reminded me of like the old electric football where you're like, no, you have to line up over here. You line up over here. And then the quarterback would call the cadence, go! And then it would just be like just kids just running everywhere.
Oh, I know. Last year I watched kids run the wrong way every time. And it's like, buddy, you don't know by now? You know, the coach is turning you around every time. But great work, dude.
And like I've said before, like the thing that's really tough with this age group is you have like some of the second graders that they are understanding because they were involved last year. And so like they're really competitive. I have some kids that are like, they understand the positions. They know a little bit about football. They're like, we want to win. We want to win the championship. Then there's kids that like, they don't even know what planet they're on. We're like trying to get them lined up. They're like, what are we even doing right now? It's like, we're playing football, bud. We got to get lined up and go.
So they're second graders. I was thinking they were younger. Age do they start tackle up there now?
So it's third and fourth grade now is tackle. And then fifth and sixth is the older grade tackle.
Because I want to say the tackle might be first grade here, first or second. I can't remember now. Oh, no, maybe it has to be second. Maybe it's second, third, and fourth. I'm trying to think of how many of the kids played, but I know they had talked about getting away from it. Have they been doing anything with like the Guardian helmet stuff in PA, do you know?
No. I mean, at one point I was looking into them just from a, if I could get them for the varsity team I was coaching, but we were looking at like $3,000 to $5,000 to try to get them because I thought that would have been a way. Some of the helmets really get, they get banged up. But I thought if we had them, thank you.
I knew there was going to be three of them.
That might be a way to keep the helmets from getting all chipped up.
Well, see, that's one of the things I want to talk about at the beginning of the show for like high tempo. They were talking about the NFL reporting that concussions are down like a ridiculous amount. I can't remember what the percentage actually was for the Guardian caps. And then I thought, like, who's reporting that data? Is that them? Because they aren't wearing them in the preseason games. So, like, are that many people getting concussed at practice? Because I don't remember hearing about it. And number two, It's practice. So they're not really hitting each other. I know some guys fight on the team. Like Dion was saying, his guys need to get in there and fight. He didn't like how some people were on the sidelines. Did you see that comment by your boy? They had a team fight at Colorado, and he said that there were some guys that didn't pick sides and they were standing on the sideline. He wants them to pick a side. So you want your team completely divided? Like some guys I understand, like, or whatever. I guess I thought I heard a thing too with LSU. Brian Kelly had to do something early because he didn't want guys getting hurt. I was like, crazy that you have that happening. But then, like, in the NFL, you're practicing, you're not really hitting each other hard at camp. So I really don't think they would have too many concussions to at least know that the guardian caps helped or didn't help. Because if they really helped, wouldn't you want to wear them in the games? Is the only reason they don't is because they want to keep the old look? They think it looks cool? And they think the guardian helmets are lame? I don't know. Right? I don't think it would slow you down. They can't be that heavy. I never wore one. But, like, they like the popping pad sound on TV. They always crank it up. So, like, if you have the Guardian helmet on, I'm just, it'd be like two pillows hitting. You're, like, watching a sorority pillow fight. Your wife will come in here and the pillow sounds and she'll get flashbacks and come running in and yell at you, ask what you're watching. You're like, I swear it's the NFL, honey. I swear they're wearing these new Guardian caps. Don't look through the history, but I'm telling you, that's what I was watching. But I'm just curious if you had used them or if that was even a thing they were talking about. Because they always talk about down here, but I think too, like you brought up the financial side, I think a lot of programs still use hand-me-down stuff. Like I thought I got into a lot of high schools that were using like old college stuff even.
Well, they do have some restrictions as far as helmets and like how many years.
Yeah, now. I don't think they had that when I was playing. They're like, hit it off the brick wall, see if it cracks in half. If not, put that on, buddy. So.
Well, they are making helmets now that have sensors in them for concussions. That supposedly down the line, as schools are cycling old helmets out and new helmets in, they're going to have access to that technology and be able to measure like how hard the helmet's being hit.
You think that'll be used in like a court case? Like Aaron Hernandez is up there. His lawyer's like, look at this helmet data. He's crazy. Or like Antonio Brown will get to pull that out.
And they may use it just to say like this kid took a hit. What does it look like? They're like, oh, it scored high enough that he needs to come out for X number of plays.
Some guy's like, I swear, officer, I am not drunk. I just have complete head trauma. Don't even test me for DUI. I got my paperwork right here. He hands him, like, helmet data. I might smell like booze, but that's just how I sweat these days. I wasn't driving drunk, sir. That'll be like your get-out-of-jail card. You know how like they do that for people that are like in rehab? Like, you can't really fire me. I'm in rehab. It's like, can't really fire me if I screw up a bunch of times because I have head traumas. Here's my high school transcript. It's like 8 concussions on there. But I know it's not even a joking matter, but I just don't understand where you put out the stuff. Like, hey, it's working. Are you using it for the season then? No. Why would we do that? Why would we change?
Because with guardian caps being the primary people, if there's not some type of like you said, the financials of it, of do they want to pay one company to have the exclusive rights to the helmets?
They could just produce their own and call them NFL caps. And then sell them to all the high schools. And then they make the big bucks. I'll write that down and send it to fellow owner Jerry Jones, my good buddy. tell them to do that. Like, hey, we can produce these phone things ourselves. Why are we outsourcing this? I'm sure they just don't want the change, because if they make a change and then it causes more injury, then what? Right?
Right.
Because, like, if it's a helmet where before it's kind of like, what, the pain or whatever, is like there's going to be some type of friction. But if these are, like, getting your head caught, you could have more neck injuries or something, I could see. Because they're not like, the other ones are kind of like, they hit and they kind of like swipe off each other. But like, rub together two pillows, like, I think there's going to be more friction there, right? At least that's my thought behind it. Where maybe not so many concussions, but I would think more maybe neck injuries, or like worse, like not worse for the person, but for the NFL's perception, if a bunch more people are blowing their knees or legs out because their head gets caught, or like, heck, their back, then what? It's hard to change it. They almost need like Ivy League or some college conference to go ahead and try it first and use that data to kind of then say, like, look, owners, we need to do it. And maybe it'll come. Maybe we'll see it in 10 years. But let's go ahead and get rolling. Topic today, NFL draft coming up for fantasy. And we have top positions. We're going to go through. We'll do it backwards. They have the top kicker as Justin Tucker, Matt, from Baltimore.
That's a safe pick.
Do you have any sleeper candidates or kickers off the top of your head that you would pick going into the draft?
I would take the Pittsburgh Steelers kicker.
I don't even see him on here.
It doesn't matter. Take him.
Because you don't think they're scoring touchdowns?
They'll be in the red zone, but historically they have not scored touchdowns.
Well, that's where I look at this and I'm like, they have Las Vegas kicker number two. And I'm like, we don't even know if Garoppolo's going to play. You're telling me that they're going to be putting up points? I almost kind of like Philly's kicker. Just for the same reason. Like, are you going to be able to score all the time? Like, the Chiefs are more hit or bust. Like, they usually score too many touchdowns for it to really matter in terms of a kicker. But, like, the 1 year when Atlanta had their problems, I had, was it Koo or whatever his name is? And he was lights out because they couldn't score a touchdown to save their life because they had no running game. It's like when they had Julio and all those guys.
Yeah. So,
I think you kind of got to find a guy like that. And I don't know off the top of my head which team I'm leaning towards taking, but I definitely wouldn't take the Las Vegas guy. I think that's going to be a bust pick. Let's go to defenses now. They have 49ers number one, Steelers number two. Who are you leaning into taking? Or who do you think is going to be a sleeper pick here?
I would like to think the Chargers defense, because you're going to get Denver twice. You'll have Las Vegas twice. You still have to play the Chiefs, but I don't watch enough of the chart. Like, I don't follow the Chargers close enough to feel really confident.
That's one team I'm going to talk about a little bit today, the Chargers. I'm just not sold on them, so I don't know what to think in that regard. But I'm also wondering, going into the season, about a team like the Packers, because the Packers offense sucked last year with Aaron Rodgers and the defense kept them in games to the point where if they have a quarterback that can kind of keep the ball for any length of time, I wonder how they're going to be. Like, they have the Jets higher this year. Aaron Rodgers, like, when has he helped out a good defense, man? He's either scoring points or he's three and outing. Right? It's never like, hey, I'm going to do a bunch of like slow drives. Where I think with the Packers, if they're going to go with a new quarterback, you're going to slow everything down, right? So you're going to try to keep the ball, do some possession type stuff to get him comfortable. And the defense was already pretty top in town. I know they lost some guys, but that would be one that I would think about taking. Other than, I know they don't have the Eagles on this list, but the Eagles' defense has been so opportunistic in past years. And with the great offense coming back, I don't think they're going to be in too many shootouts. Usually they blow teams out if they're going to beat them bad. So I kind of always like the Eagles too. And that's going to be a team that you can pick up because no one's going to play the Eagles until you need them. Right? Why would you trust the Eagles? Their offense is awesome. But that you got to look at how many teams can score touchdowns on defense. And that's one of the ones. All right, now let's get into the real positions here. Let's start with tight end. It has to be Kelce. And honestly, I've crunched some numbers here. I know they have Mark Andrews at number two, and then they have Hockenson at three. The gap between those three is so high. And I think Darren Waller went to the Giants, right? Is that who they have him with here?
Yeah.
He's the fourth one. The gap is so high that honestly, I don't know if you would take Kelce with your number one pick, but if you can get Kelce, he can mask a lot of problems with your team. Because if you don't get any of the top three guys, don't even waste an early pick on Waller. You might as well just take a guess. Right? Find a guy. I don't even know who the heck I had last year. Was it Cole Kmet? I think it was Kmet that I randomly picked and he ended up like in the top 10. And that's because I had Njoku and then you picked Njoku off the wire who also ended up in the top 10, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, do I want Njoku? No. Drop him because he's not supposed to play. Then he comes back. It's like, damn it. Matt gets him. Why am I doing this every year? I'll go with Cole Kmet. And then like Dalton Schultz is my other guy too. And now they have him. So like, it's funny that all the random tight ends that I used to be able to just pick up are now projected top 10 tight end guys. Those three guys, Schultz, Njoku, and now Cole Kmet. Those are my guys that I think you can kind of get. If you're not getting Kelce, I don't think it's worth the high pick to get Hockenson. I personally don't. Until someone dethrones Kelce, it's either Kelce or a bust. You might as well just go through. Like, they even have Pat Freiermuth. I would honestly take Cole Kmet over Freiermuth. I don't even know what the points ended up being. But I would rather take a guy that because you're gonna have to draft higher. Because like we do auction draft, right? So like how high do you think some jackass is gonna bid up Freiermuth?
I mean, Freiermuth's gonna go for a higher dollar amount, but I think depending on like what you value certain positions, I think you can say you want to put an investment there. Like to me, I've always looked at tight ends like for people who really don't follow football really closely, that's a way to really help bolster your team. If you can get, and again, this isn't an ideal situation, but say you can get Freiermuth and then come back later and get like an Njoku type tight end on the cheap. If they're getting the ball funneled to them, you can start one at tight end and one at flex, and you'll get a lot of value out of that compared to like if you're in that drafting Dalvin Cook or who was that other halfback for the Jets?
Oh, my boy, Breece Hall.
Yeah. So, like, do you gamble? Is Breece Hall going to go off, or are they going to be, or is Cook going to get all the carries? You know, sometimes you may be better off just having that tight end that you know is going to get four or five receptions and consistently taking the points.
All right, so I'm trying to see. Does this have my keeper? Oh, I had Cole Kmet for $7. And then I also had Tyler Conklin for $6. But right now, Cole Kmet was like, he got 88.7 points a game. Freiermuth had 9. So like if you're going to be paying more or getting Freiermuth like 3 rounds ahead for 1 point more per game, it's not worth it. Kelce had 18 points a game. Hockenson and Kittle and Andrews was in the next tier. They all had between 12 and 13. So that's like a 5 or 6 point difference because he was 18.6, right? There's such a big drop off that if you're getting like Hockenson in the second round and he's only making three more points per game than Kmet. Like, to me, it's better at tight end to do a value pick and maybe come out. Like, Njoku had, what, 10, it said? I think this is last year's. I hope it is, and not a projection. Yeah, this is last year's points. And then, like, Goedert from Philly, he was higher than a lot of people had, too. Who's this other one that's lower? Oh, Ertz, Zach Ertz. So, like, I think there's enough value picks, especially if you're in a smaller league, where if you're not getting Kelsey, what's it matter for 1 or 2 points? You can get better players elsewhere at other positions. So that's my stance with the whole thing. Maybe I'll bring that up. Maybe I'll keep that list up. But that's my thoughts on it. To Matt's point, he said about he likes going high on tight end. I like going high on two running backs, but we're not going to get to that yet. So I'll save that. Let's go to wide receiver right now. They have Justin Jefferson at the top, Ja'Marr Chase, Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, and Davante Adams. I don't know if you trust Adams, because like I said, I don't trust any of the Raiders things. Out of that group, I would honestly just take Chase, right?
I'm going to go Jefferson.
Well, Burrow had so many connections with Chase that I feel like he's the go-to. What was the Vikings' other wide receiver? Did they still have
Thielen?
Yeah, isn't he gone?
Yeah, he's gone.
So that's the one thing that scares me. It's, hey, how are you gonna be able to fill that and not be able to get like double covered? Where Chase, you knew he was getting the ball, right? You knew he was gonna get the ball. And he was still pulling down crazy catches at the end of the year. And the difference between them, like Chase had, what, 18? Jefferson had 21.7. Tyreek Hill's another one that had 20, which is insane to me. But I still think upside, I wouldn't be surprised if Chase, because it was only his second year, right? So, like, he's going to keep growing. I also had Devonta Smith last year that I got at a steal. What did I end up having him for?
Yeah, you end up stealing him from me.
I had 15 on him. And you know how many stupid draft trades people were trying to get me to give him up? And it's like, buddy, my team is hanging on by a thread here. I'm not giving him up. Like, it would be stupid of me to just get rid of him. So I think my sleeper this year, and I hate saying it, because in that same position, I knew Smith was going to be hot because, like, everyone was undervaluing him. He won the Heisman. I think you can get Ronnie Bell from the 49ers fairly cheap, although he's been playing so hot in the preseason that I wouldn't be surprised if he took off late. I hate giving him as my pick because he's a Michigan guy. But going out of Michigan where he was like the go-to wide receiver, he hurt his knee and he came back. So his stats coming out of college weren't as good because of that injury like a year or two ago. I think the way he's impacted the 49ers right now, that if he's in their depth chart, that's a guy you can get late. And if you have buys you need to fill, I think he'll fill in perfect. And who knows, he might even take a jump where at the end of the year, Devonta Smith was playing so lights out that he ended up, didn't he end up with more points than Brown? I think he did.
Yeah, I want to say he did.
Oh, no, he didn't. He was like right behind him. But I swear at the end of the year, because I'm pretty sure I played the guy that had Brown and Devonta Smith had like 2 touchdowns and he had none in the game that we played in the playoffs and I ended up winning. So it's like, are you able to be that? And like, that's the one reason I would keep Smith or try to pick him again, because Brown's still there. So you can't, it's not even going to be a thing with like Jefferson. Thielen's gone. Can't they just like double cover him then? I don't know if he's going to be like Tariq Hill type, where it seems like Tariq Hill is able to just run wild no matter what is going on. Like, what was the one game where he like picked up that fumble or whatever and ran for the touchdown, like that crazy touchdown? It's like, I don't think Justin Jefferson does stuff like that. Heck, I don't think any other wide receiver does stuff like that. So he would be another one that I could possibly pick. I just don't know.
But I feel like with Jefferson, I feel like he's just getting more touches overall. Like they're throwing him more short passes, and like he's getting more opportunities for those plays. I feel like with Cincinnati, you're having more receivers taking passes away because teams are double teaming Chase.
Well, see, the crazy thing that I'm looking at here is this is going off my team last year. I took a lot of chances last year. I had Christian Kirk, I had Amari Cooper, I had Devonta Smith as my three wide receivers, I think. They all ended up in the top 12. So, like, having some type of chance, oh, I had Godwin too, but I don't think he ended up as high. Godwin was 19th. So, realistically, in our league of, like, 13, 14 dudes, I had all four of my receivers in the top 20. That's insane, right?
Yeah.
To be able to have a value pick where you would think there was so many people, you should have some one in the top 10, one in the top 20, and then like dropping down to like where your fourth wide receiver or whatever that you're playing flex is like in the 50s. Not where it's like, hey, because I remember one point I'm like, who do I play? Oh, and I also had Olave. Where did he end up? I don't think he was 25. So, like, that's insane. All five of my dudes were top 25 dudes. I don't know how you can hit that. I won't be able to replicate that, I don't think. But that's kind of where you have to go. Like, that's where my Ronnie Bell one is picking, almost like Chris Olave. It's like, Olave did stuff in the preseason very similar to Ronnie Bell. Olave wasn't playing a lot. I don't even think, I think this is what my final game was. I don't think, or no, did I have him playing? Yeah, I did have him playing in the flex. So I had Olave, or no, I didn't. I benched him for the playoffs. So I had him benched. I ended up playing Kirk and Cooper, Devonta Smith and Godwin. Those were my four for the thing. But like my backup is 25th ranked guy. Not a bad position to be in at all. Right? The Cooper's the one that I regret because his connection with Watson started to like really sour at the end of the year. And I didn't know if I should play him or not. Right? It was kind of like hit or miss. For a while there, he was living in that offense. And then it was kind of like, we figured you out, buddy. And he had nowhere else to go with the ball. I don't know.
Wide receiver's always been tough draft for me because I always can find one, but then it's always like a coin toss for my other receivers. And you end up finding a guy that's like, one week he'll get you 40, and then the next week he doesn't even get a pass thrown to him. Well, it's like when you're trying to just find like that average score that can get you over the hump.
Well, see, that's my guy, Mike Evans, and that was the funny thing last year. It was like, I wanted him or DK Metcalf, and I didn't get either. And then at the end of the year, they ended up 16 and 17, and all four of my guys that I ended up I ended up having to take a chance at Kirk. I wasn't sure how that would end up. And then I had to take a chance at Devonta Smith, where my main guy was Amari Cooper, and who else did I have? I can't even remember at this point. But I had Amari Cooper was my main one, I think, in Godwin. But then Godwin, I think, was hurt for a bit. So Godwin potentially could have been higher. But I think originally I wanted Cooper and Mike Evans, and I got outbid. And the guy messaged me and was like, I'm not letting you have Evans again. And I was like, all right, I'll take Cooper. Or I'll take Godwin. And then I was like, I'll take a flyer on Devonta Smith, see what happens. The crazy thing was, I got Godwin early. I got him cheaper. I got him for $12. By the time Devonta Smith came up, I had to get him for, I had to spend like the 15 or whatever. But all my guys, Cooper was 14 because it was like right at the point in the draft where all the top guys were taken and no one wanted to really stretch. So I'm able to backfill with Godwin for 12, Cooper for 14. I take a flyer on Kirk for 12, and then I still have money left over because I haven't been spending that much. I do 15 for Devonta Smith, and then I took a flyer on Chris Olave for 10. And that was like the middle of the draft. So, not bad. I don't think I had any free agent pickups for tight ends or for wide receivers. Some got like for the other positions, I had to pick up guys. But wide receivers, typically, you shouldn't really have too many injuries. I think, who's the guy that always gets hurt from the Chargers? Well, I guess every wide receiver gets hurt for them, though. So, like, not Mike Williams. I can't even think of the other guy's name. But he's not on the list here. That's my problem. I need to see the guys where I can know what they are. But Thielen leaving, he's at Carolina now. Like, I would never pick him at Carolina. I don't even know who Carolina's quarterback's going to be.
Oh, it's going to be Bryce Young.
Yeah, but is he going to be ready?
No, but you'll be able to sell jerseys.
Because, like, what was the Packers speedster? He's not even on here either. I can't think of his name. That's another one. It's like Aaron Rodgers wasn't giving him the ball because he had too many drops. It's like, all right, go ahead. Let's see what happens this year. That might be some other guys. Packers guys, you're probably going to be able to get cheap because they have a new quarterback and he has to pick a favorite, right? Maybe it's the tight end. That could be your tight end sleeper pick. Remember I did that the one year with, was it the Browns guy? Can't remember who it was, but they had the article about how he started rooming with the new quarterback. It was before Baker. That's how old this story was. And I'm like, I'm picking him up. And he was getting like 15 points a game. He was like leading the league. I was like, this is great. Great. One of my early championship contenders. But any other tight or any other wide receivers you have as sleepers coming in?
No.
Man, I would stay away from dudes that ended up in the Jets. They have a couple of them high, but I feel like those are all going to be busts, right?
I mean, I feel like you can take them, but like, which they're serviceable receivers, so one of them is going to get all the catches, and then you're going to have, you don't want to be stuck with the one that doesn't get the ball that often or gets one catch a game.
I found my guy, Keenan Allen. He only played 10 games last year, though.
Yep.
That's a guy. He always got hurt, and I was like, I don't care how good you are. I will never regret not drafting you ever since. He got hurt the one year for me. Deebo Samuel is the other guy that I was kind of high on. And then he got hurt. And I don't know if I'm... When you start to get hurt, I don't know if I can recommend people drafting you. Because he was doing double team. He was like more of a running back too. And now with Christian McCaffrey there, I feel like they're not going to run both. Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that leads into the running back picks here. They have Eckler number one. I'm probably going to use my keeper on him just because I only have him for, what did I get him for, 47? That's crazy because our top running backs in the league always go for 70. So it's almost like I have to keep him, right? He won me the championship, so we're best buds. I can't ruin it. And my strategy is always trying to take two top running backs. So last year I took Eckler and Henry. Was last year the year Henry hurt his foot or was that the year before? I can't remember now.
I want to say last year.
Because he's not in my starting league, right? I ended up taking a flyer on Stevenson. I keep calling him Ray Stevenson, but his name's Ramondre. So people I talk to are probably think I'm retarded. But I got him for $11. He started getting hurt. And I complained about it. I think I might have called him Ray on the show last week. They picked up Zeke, the Patriots, right? So
yeah.
I don't know. That's the one thing that scares me. You brought up the Jets running back situation. With Aaron Rodgers there, I wouldn't trust any of those running backs. What is Green Bay offense, even when Aaron Rodgers was young, when have they ever had a featured running back that was like a must-have in fantasy? They never had one. You could say Aaron Jones maybe for a little bit, but like that's it. not really like one of the top dogs that everyone remembers. And that's the funniest thing about the running backs complaining about their salary. The only reason people know them is from fantasy football. If you got rid of fantasy football, a lot of teams wouldn't even know their running backs anymore because they cycle through so fast that no one would know. Right? No one would know Christian McCaffrey because he's always hurt. They only know who he is because he's on the projected top list every year. And so he's number two. And then they have Bijan Robinson at number three, which isn't he a rookie? There's no way I would take him at number three.
Why not?
Why not? Number one, he's playing for Atlanta.
Yes, they're going to be down by a lot, so they're going to be throwing the ball. He'll get PPR points.
That's the only thing I could think of that might be able to swing it. McCaffrey ended up playing all games last year, and he was right behind Eckler, which was kind of a shock. But he went to the 49ers, so of course he couldn't get hurt, right? It's in his law. Now, Derrick Henry, I think the reason I ended up not playing him is because they shut him down. But he played all 16. He played 16 of the games, right? Out of the 17, and he was averaging 18.9. That's pretty good. Stevenson was averaging 17 too, or no, 14.7. He played all 17 games, I mean. So he's up there like averaging almost 15 points. And that's pretty good. That's why I like my strategy of taking two top running backs at least. I just showed you that you can pick wide receivers and get hot. You can probably pick some up off the waiver wire, right? Running backs at the top are kind of like tight ends. There's a big drop even from the number one, Eckler, last year down to the 10. The difference in points was like 7 points a game. If I would have waited and picked Joe Mixon instead of Eckler, 7 point difference a game. And not only that, Henry was getting, what, 3 more points a game than Mixon, and he's number four. If I would have waited and tried to get like a top 20 running back, that difference drops you all the way down to 11 points a game. So you, if you can get a running back, two running backs that are making you 15 or above a game, you can make it up with wide receivers and tight ends or whatever. I firmly believe that because running backs are so... it's hard to have one that's durable. I don't know what word I'm looking for, but they're hard to come by, that you almost always need two top 10 running backs because you're bound to have one get hurt. If you're lucky like me and you end up with three top 10 running backs, you're pretty much going to be contending for the championship. Even if somebody gets hurt, the only thing that hurt for me was my flex play. Luckily, I had a top 12 wide receiver to fill in. Not a big loss, right? You got to try to draft for depth. Don't be afraid to take a flyer. If a guy doesn't work out, cut his ass. You might lose him like Njoku on the waiver wire. Because I think that was like a $1 tight end draft that I was like, oh, I don't need him. And then Matt is like outbidding me for him like for 20 bucks like the next week or whatever. But... all you need to do is, my strategy has been, get two running backs. Hopefully you hit on one of them, and then you're going to count on the other one being thrown away. And then try to fill in. My guy last year that I talked about probably trying to fill in was Breece Hall, which he went a lot higher than I expected. I don't have his value up, how much he went in our league. I think he was close to like 30 or 40 bucks, almost like Eckler level, which is crazy to me. And he started playing that hot, right? Till he got hurt. This year, I wouldn't touch him at all. I think going in to this year, there you got to kind of look through, and like even Bijan Robinson, like that could be a sleeper rookie, but not over like third overall. There are more like known commodities, like Josh Jacobs. Has he really been hurt too much? Let's look and see who the guys that get injured. Josh Jacobs played all 17 last year. Chubb played all 17. Eckler, McCaffrey, Chubb, Stevenson, Aaron Jones, Dalvin Cook played 17. Doesn't he get hurt a lot?
No, he's a machine.
But isn't he in a bad situation? Oh, he's with the Jets too. That's the other one. Isn't it Cook and Breece Hall?
Yeah, they're handcuffed. But if you have both of them, you hedge yourself, and then you're able to be in a better spot where if you know one's going to be banged up, you start the other one, and you're not taking a loss.
I wonder if you could do the same with a cheaper version with Stevenson and Zeke. I don't know if too many people are going to be bidding on Zeke. Hasn't he been playing like shit? It's mostly Pollard. Pollard has no one behind him, right? So I don't even know who they would have behind him. But I would go with... I'm looking to see if I can find out. Can I search this document? Dallas. Is it Deuce Vaughn? Oh, isn't Deuce Vaughn that rookie that was playing pretty legit for them, though?
I'm not sure.
They haven't died at $0, dude. That could be my sleeper. There was one guy, I think it was Deuce Vaughn. I'm going to look him up real quick. He wasn't really drafted high. And he was drafted out of... Oh, no. Wait, I don't think this is him. Deuce Vaughn scored a bunch of touchdowns, but he played at Kansas State. Now, there was another guy that played at like a school that no one knew, and he was scoring touchdowns. Now, I can't think of his name. I should have wrote it down on the show. But that would be the kind of guy that you can take a flyer on, although he might be bid up or someone might grab him early. I don't see anyone on this list I don't know. But any sleepers that you're looking for?
I mean, I think Bijan Robinson's one of the sleepers that I was high on, just because I think the opportunities are going to be there to throw checkdowns.
They have him at $51, dude. That's more than I'm paying Eckler. They have Eckler at 48 or 58. I'm at 47. They have McCaffrey at 57.
But I think Eckler's good. But I mean, I wouldn't go that high on him. Like that's one of the things with an auction style league that runs me into problems is I start thinking, how much do you want to spend on those first couple picks?
Well, you better be careful, dude. There's only two teams that have multiple championships. You got to start stepping up in our league. Got to start taking some chances, man. You can't always draft Florida State guys. I tell you, they're usually busts in the league. I'm telling you this.
All pros?
It's a sad year without my man, Tom Brady, who would always be my quarterback pick no matter what, and no one ever let me have him since I won that championship with them. I still reminisce. I text him all the time, like, Tom, remember when we won that fantasy championship together? And he's like, I'm blocking you. I'm blocking this number. I'm like, no, don't. I'll get a new phone. I'll get a burner. And then this year, I think coming in, last year I really wanted Josh Allen. And then to your point where it's like, oh, at some point, how do you get that high? Right? Because I'm going through and I'm like, Josh Allen's getting up there. And of course, I had already wasted all my money on my two running backs, Eckler, and how much did I pay for Derrick Henry? I had $64. So I was over $100 already. And so I watched him. I wanted to use all my money on Josh Allen, Eckler, and Derrick Henry. That was my plan, right? Eckler hit. I knew Derrick Henry would be top five as long as he didn't get hurt. And Josh Allen. Someone outbids me for him. I wanted to get Hurts because I thought I can get it Hurts for cheap. No, they bid him up too. So I ended up picking Trevor Lawrence. I said Taylor Lawrence, goddamn, for a dollar. He ended up 8 overall, dude. And that was a legit concern for me because I thought, do I keep Trevor for a dollar and hope that he turns into a Mahomes? But ultimately, I have to say no. They have him valued at $5, Trevor Lawrence. And the difference between Eckler and Trevor Lawrence, I think, is too great. I think after the year Eckler had and not really knowing if the Chargers wide receivers are going to be any better, I think I have to stick with Eckler. Now I have to find a sleeper quarterback. So who are you thinking is a sleeper quarterback for this year? Don't even say Pickett, because you know he'll get bit up in our league for no reason. Even though he's Pickett, even though he's valued at $0.
I think there's a chance that Lawrence could end up being one of those picks, because when you look at Kirk still there, they're getting Ridley back off of IR.
out of the sinners, Dan Matt, for gambling. Isn't that what he was?
I have him listed as my keeper for right now.
How much?
$1.
Yeah, see, that's the only reason that I'm kind of screwed every year, is because I never lucked into, like, someone has Jefferson for, like, so cheap that he'll never even be drafted, I don't think. And so it's like, all right, we can know he's going to be probably competing every year. Right now I have Eckler low, as long as he keeps hitting. I mean, I was keeping Derrick Henry last year at 64, thinking that was a deal. And then the first pick of last year's draft was like a running back for like 70-something bucks, and I thought, I made the right decision, right? Because I had McCaffrey. It would have been funny if I would have kept McCaffrey the year before, if I just would have kept doubling down on McCaffrey. And I probably still would have won the championship last year, right? Because instead of Henry, I would have had McCaffrey and Eckler, and that would have been about a wash. So it would have worked out. But I got to win without McCaffrey, so I could laugh at his stupid face. I don't know. Personally, in terms of quarterbacks, I don't trust a lot of the rookies, right?
Yeah.
You have the first-time starter, like Jordan Love I brought up, don't trust. I think he's been playing good. Sam Howell for Washington, I think that's going to be a disaster of a move. Are they starting Ridder at Atlanta? Is that what this is saying? I don't know if this is up to date for me.
I believe he was.
So, like, is Tampa Bay playing Baker?
Yes, they announced it today.
He's worth $0. Honestly, I like Baker, and I just don't know. With Tampa Bay's weapons, he's never had any weapons like that at the Browns, right? Godwin, Evans, aren't they all still there?
Yeah.
So you're basically giving him Tom Brady's guys. And, like, that would be one where I honestly think, from going back to wide receivers, I don't think Godwin and Mike Evans are really going to go much higher because Tom Brady's not there, right? So those could be undercover guys where Baker's going to get them the ball. Now, is Baker going to throw a bunch of interceptions? Probably. But he'll at least look cool doing it, Matt. He's like Gardner Minshew. I had Minshew on my team last year, and luckily, what did I pay? I paid 15 for Minshew, right? I think that was more of a free agent pickup, though. I don't think that was a draft move. I don't remember the other quarterback I drafted. But I had two, like, dollar picks as my QBs, and I thought, well, this will be interesting to see how this goes. And then one of them wasn't playing, so I ended up just sticking with Trevor Lawrence, and I got Minshew for my bye week. And it worked out.
But I think that that's an interesting thing in our league, because you'll have, like, Josh Allen go for really high, and, you know, Mahomes will go, and a couple other guys will go for bigger amounts, but then you can still find, like, how you found Trevor Lawrence for $1, and can still get production out of it. So it's like, as long as you know that your quarterback's gonna have some viable weapons.
Well, let's look and see. Every year I've won the championship, I've hit on a quarterback for cheap, other than the year I traded for Tom Brady. I had Matt Ryan for like $1 or $2, and I had Trevor Lawrence for $1, right? So I think by prioritizing running back and tight end, and then for sometimes if you don't hit the high guys, like I said, I've been filling tight ends and stuff off the waiver wire fairly competently, just because you got to look at how many times are they getting targeted? How many snaps are they on the field? Some guys come in and they start to see more and more snaps each week, and you can pick them up week 5 And then if they either don't produce in a couple weeks, drop them. And if they keep seeing more and more time, eventually they're going to get some catches. Who was the guy that I did that with the Packers? Was it Tomlin? What was that guy's name? Tomlin? Robert Toyin or something like that?
Oh, Tomlin.
Yeah, you think I'd know my guy's names. But when he first hit it big, I think I picked him up on the waiver wire because I noticed that the Packers had started to play him more and he was starting to get looks from Aaron Rodgers and they were just falling incomplete. And I thought, that's not a him problem. That's more of an Aaron Rodgers problem. And next thing I know, he's catching three balls and one of them's a touchdown each week. And I made out. The next year that I draft him? No. Because I didn't know if Aaron Rodgers was going to keep throwing him the ball. I just knew that for that year, Aaron Rodgers, every time they're in the red zone, Aaron Rodgers started to look for him. And I thought, I'd rather have one guy that has three catches and a touchdown than a tight end that has five catches for 5 yards, right? Because a lot of those guys, that's what they do. They're just catching their five outs per game, and that's it. If you're getting no red zone looks, who was the guy for the Steelers? Like, they picked up that super old tight end, and all he did was get red zone looks that 1 year.
Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah, was it Lewis? I can't remember who they had. But yeah, that was the same thing. Ben Roethlisberger clearly looked to him in the red zone every time. So it was like, you got to pick him up. He might only have three catches a game, but if you get a touchdown, three catches and a touchdown's basically 10 points. Minimum, right? And for a tight end, we've looked at the stats. That's pretty good unless you have Kelsey. So overall, I really don't trust the Ohio State guys. If you're looking for like Stroud coming into Houston, I just don't know how you can trust a system quarterback when all the other system quarterbacks from that team have failed.
Justin Fields, do you think he's going to do anything with Chicago?
Has he yet?
But see, that's where I have a hard time of like, he had fantasy production last year.
Yeah, he did have fantasy production last year.
So and, like, it's hard, like I have a hard time being like, well, it doesn't seem like Chicago's winning anything, but you don't have to have a winning team to get production for fantasy.
But that's what happens is eventually you have to have a winning team to have the support of your like owner and stuff. At any time, they're not going to want you go winning three games and then be like, well, you know what, buddy, you did get 20 fantasy points a game. We're going to keep rolling with you. We don't mind the 3-12 or whatever 3-15 season would be. I don't know how many games they even play anymore. Like, same with Mac Jones. Like, hey, you're winning some games, but you suck at fantasy, buddy. I would never play you. Like, Andy Dalton was like, I think, is he with Carolina this year again or whatever?
Yeah.
He's like, I still feel like I'm the starter quarterback. I'm like, way to go, buddy. Keep thinking that. Another one would be Geno Smith. I like Geno coming to West Virginia. He was like the last great West Virginia player, right? Tavon Austin, like, weren't they all on the same team?
Yeah.
So it's like, I guess not really player, but from team of that era. Like, the era of West Virginia football going into the ground. Geno was there, and he came back and played well. Didn't they break his jaw at the Jets? It's like, you can't trust the Jets. I wouldn't trust Aaron Rodgers. Kirk Cousins, like I said, they lost Thielen. That was kind of an outlet for him. So, yeah, he has Jefferson, but who else? Who else? I think overall, I'm trying to think if I have any other sleepers that I would probably pick out. And honestly, at this point, I think I talked about most of the ones that I had. Did you have any other ones you wanted to talk about?
I don't know. I almost feel like with the more Watson like has a full preseason, I may be willing to take a flyer on some of the Browns.
Well, that was my guy. It was Watson last year, remember? Yeah. I drafted Deshaun Watson, and I sat on him all year and never ended up playing him because Trevor Lawrence took off. Drafted him for a dollar, and I thought for sure someone was going to outbid me because I had no money left. and I got him and I was so pumped. And he sat half the year and I thought, all I need him to do is come back for the playoffs, which is my other tip. When you're drafting, look at your bye weeks and look at the matchups during the playoffs. You don't want them playing a murderer's row like playing the Bills or someone during the playoff week, right? Because that's insane. Why would you do that to yourself? Like the one year when I traded for Tom Brady, his playoff matchups were like three crappy teams, like the Jets and someone else. And I was like, this is perfect. This is exactly what I need. Put me over the edge. Like they're playing nobodies. And some of the running backs I looked at the same thing. Like when I switched from McCaffrey to Henry, Henry's playoff the year he got hurt was so easy. I was like, this is going to be like just taking candy from a baby. But then he ended up hurting his foot. But then you're right. I think I kept him last year because I felt bad. And it worked out, even though I think they ended up sitting him. That's what really pissed me off, is because they said, like, we're not going to bench Derrick Henry. And he had like three carries and then went on the bench. And I hate, who is their coach? That Ohio State guy? It's like, of course, a Buckeye would be ruining my entire season in 1 week. Like, what an ass. Now I hate him. And I hope he ends up at Ohio State, because I think he would set their program back. So, my little TED talk. Anything else you have for the NFL?
No.
I know we went long on the NFL. We've been going long on college. I only have a couple things I did want to talk about. When Luke Fickell's coming to Wisconsin, I'm thinking that he's bringing like a modernized pro style, like Harbaugh type offense, right? Because I swear that's what he ran at Cincinnati. But he's bringing the air raid, Matt. How is that going to work in Wisconsin? Wisconsin drafts, or no, they don't draft. They recruit big, heavy linemen that are used to run blocking. If anything, you're taking the one program that recruits linemen the same style as Michigan and is able to steal a couple of Michigan's like lineman type recruits, and you're saying like, nah, we don't want you. So number one, you're going to boost Michigan's recruiting up on the line, which you don't want to do. Because as long as Harbaugh's there, they're going to keep rolling. They've won like the best offensive line in the country 2 years in a row. You don't want Wisconsin's top targets going to Michigan. I don't think anyone in the Big Ten wants that. Number two, that's the strength of your team. Why are you handicapping yourself right away?
I think that's a really stupid move for them to do that, because you're playing in Wisconsin and you're going to end up with crap weather. It's not like you're playing in a protected dome. It's going to hurt you in the long run.
And I'm a big air raid guy. That's all I talk about. But like at some point, you got to mix it in. Like when Michigan was doing weird like run stuff, but they were still doing like some crazy passing routes with like Pep Hamilton. They just weren't doing it like, they're like, hey, we're going to do like a, every pattern is 12 yards deep and then you're getting sacked. It's like, what are you doing, buddy? Give him some outlets every once in a while. But I like the shots where you're making these complex like passing routes that are working and you don't have the quarterback for. Like, I almost wonder what Pep would be doing right now with JJ, like what they would have been able to figure out and how they might even be getting guys more wide open than the Ohio State game last year. Like, it might be crazy. But you have to have that run first base, or like, why don't you just do what like Clemson was doing, where they had like the spread type concepts, but they were still like power rushing. Hell, even Urban Meyer ran that first, right? Where you have the guys that stretch the field, but you're still going to have like Ezekiel Elliott running up the middle and like Cardale Jones just powering through it at like the quarterback position. Like, okay, try to stop it. Wisconsin's like, no, we're going to do everything that we did great, and we're going to try to be like Mike Leach's teams. And I love Mike Leach, right? But he did that because his teams weren't recruiting at a top level. I always wondered what would have happened if he got his great talent, like if he was coach of like, hell, Texas, could you imagine? They probably would have won like 5 national championships. Because how are you going to keep up with that, right? Like if he had Arch Manning and like Worthy and a bunch of their other guys at Texas this year, and Mike Leach was the coach, then I would be buying the hype. Could you imagine? He didn't even have Arch Manning starting. He'd have Quinn Ewers, which is another guy that's able to throw the ball deep and all over the yard. But at Wisconsin, you're best known for running pro style with Russell Wilson after he transferred from NC State. Don't blow it up. It'd be like Iowa running spread. People would be like, what the hell?
Well, then they'd be scoring 30 points a game.
Get that bonus. That would be funny if they came out and they both ran it. Because if Iowa and Wisconsin, they were the closest to kind of like what Michigan's been running. And honestly, I don't mind them changing, right? Because that gives Ohio State less of a reason to focus on defending that power run. Because right now, if you're getting away from the power run and Ohio State's really not facing anyone other than Michigan that has it, are you really going to be spending that much time at practice? And even if you are, then it allows for like some more Purdue-type upsets, which I think needs to happen, where Ohio State loses more than one or two games a year.
But I'm wondering if Luke Fickell does go to the air raid, there's so many different variants of it. Like, he can still run a scheme similar to like what Gundy's running at Oklahoma State, where you can still feature some of the power run, but you're incorporating more of the air raid style pass. I mean, if he's going to do something like that, I think you can make that work. But I think you really have to just go in with that mindset that your strength is your line and your strength is your run game. Build off of that. And then if you want to go with more of a diversifying pass offense, that becomes your the wrinkles and the extras that you build your program around.
Hold on a sec. You got me now? All right, yeah, some weird technical difficulties. My stupid thing turned on and jacked up all of our stuff, I think. So I don't even know when I got cut off. But I was going to say that when you're getting punched in the mouth as a lineman, I think that's going to affect recruiting a bunch more, where if you're between Wisconsin, it might not even be between Michigan and Wisconsin. But now you're having Illinois run offense, and then you have Iowa running that run offense. It's going to be easier for them to recruit and take Wisconsin's guys away. And I think over time, if you're not really focusing on that, I wonder how it's going to help the balance. And with the other teams coming into the Big Ten, that's going to be really where it kind of splits up. But anything else you want to add on it? I know my mic went out and all kinds of weird stuff.
But maybe that's a reason why Fickell's going in that direction. Because if you're going to be competing with a Lincoln Riley style spread at USC, and you're going to have some of these other schools that are going to go with more open style offenses, that maybe you at least diversify it enough that you're able to pull nationally, as opposed to just keeping things close. I know it's the local draw that's kind of helped build Wisconsin to where they are. But maybe they're just thinking, well, if we can pull from some of these other locations, maybe that will help us, you know, get a little bit further ahead.
Well, the one thing that it kind of makes me happy with that is no spread team has really won the national championship. Bama, Georgia, they're all running pro. Even like with Burrow at LSU running pro, you had like the power spread from like Urban Meyer and Clemson. But like those were pro quarterbacks, other than what Urban had with Cardale Jones. Like those Clemson guys were both pro quarterbacks. So like that's the way to go. Like Georgia right now is running the pro. Until I start seeing these spread teams win national championships, I'm kind of happy with Michigan's position, like ranked number two running it. Ohio State hasn't even been able to keep it close the past 2 years. So am I thinking Michigan's going to win? No. But I wouldn't be surprised if they did win, because it's at home this year. And has Ohio State made enough changes? I would think they'll start to change. And then if they change and USC is not able to win the Big Ten when they get there, they'll eventually change too. Because like Lincoln Riley's hot. He couldn't beat Utah. Michigan's a better version of Utah. And heck, that's not even counting Ohio State. We don't even know if he can beat Ohio State yet either. So there's no one that has the talent that Ohio State has that was on USC's Pac-12 schedule, which is my last bit here because I know we might be long. I don't know. My timer got messed up with the thing. But Stanford, did you see this recent report today? Stanford and SMU are talking about potentially giving up their media rights to join another conference, like the ACC is what was mentioned. But I would think that Stanford's saying that not to join the ACC, but that they want in the Big Ten. They said that they would give up their media rights for this cycle as a way to use like as their way to buy into the conference, and they would rely on their endowment, which to me is kind of a sneaky move, because if you're able to make it work for however many years, the ACC one, I think, goes all the way to 2036. So if you, or 2036, if you're not going to making any money for that long until you can become a full-time member, unless they give them like a lower amount, by the time you get that money, that extra $30 million, you can just use that to pay players because your endowment will be paying for everything instead, right? If you're able to work out a not like a regular operating cost only out of your endowment, any extra revenue you make can be paying players directly. So it could be a big brain move by them, especially because they have so many Olympic sports. But I wonder if that's just kind of like a hint to the Big Ten where they're saying like, look, guys, we don't care. We just don't want to be left behind. And to me, if they would come in and then you're able to give like Notre Dame a full share, or like, I don't think Cal could do it because they're already bankrupt and they're complaining and they want UCLA to pay them. But it would be funny if Cal came in and was like, yeah, we'll take $0 too. I don't want Cal in the Big Ten. I think they're garbage. Like, there's a reason that they're bankrupt. No one goes to their games. And if you don't go to the games, like UCLA is different because they're in LA and everyone knows who they are. And because of their basketball stuff, they're still relevant. They were just in the Final Four. But Cal, what have they ever done? Other than what, Marshawn Lynch riding that cart? Wasn't that when he was there? Or was that when he was in the NFL? And then Aaron Rodgers, like that was how many years ago? Those are the only two Cal guys I know, right?
Yeah.
At least Stanford had like John Elway. John Elway could be doing Big Ten commercials. But SMU is a tricky one too, because the Big Ten has no one in Texas. And SMU really wants to get in the ACC. I think, honestly, SMU makes more sense in the ACC, because if SMU is able to get in, meanwhile, schools like Florida State and the other public schools are looking to get out. If the ACC becomes sort of like a private school conference, maybe Stanford is in that conference with like Wake Forest and Boston College and Miami, that might not be a bad fourth conference. Are they going to have the high attendance? No. Are they going to be like the Gonzagas in basketball, where you have a bunch of private schools that are able to make a run? Possibly. SMU threw enough money around to get the death penalty in the 80s, Matt. Do you think that money just stopped? They're one of the richest colleges in terms of football donors. If they get into the ACC and Clemson's still there and SMU starts throwing their money around and they're the only school in Texas, look out. That could be some fun football. So that's the one I would like to see. And I think the ACC would be scared of that the way it is right now. But the $0 has to kind of give them, I think, enough votes. Because right now you had what? Clemson, Florida State, NC State, and North Carolina. I think Florida State and Clemson didn't like it because they didn't have a football-focused school with Cal and Stanford, and that makes sense. But if you're able to change it to Stanford and SMU, and SMU saying, like, we want the ACC to be the best football conference, maybe that would give Clemson somewhat something to stick around with, and they might change their vote. Right? Because unlike Florida State, I really don't think Clemson has a place to go. And that's my final thoughts for the week. So I think Clemson would be the one that could change their vote. Maybe NC State, if they think, hey, we get SMU, we can, maybe the ACC will stick around. We won't have to jump to the Big 12 or whatever. But I really don't think if the SEC doesn't want Clemson now, what would change in 10 years?
Yeah.
Especially if they're not winning any more national championships. Clemson is the hottest right now. Florida State's been down and they're still getting in more interest than Clemson. It's like when Michigan was going through the Brady Hoke years and people were saying, oh, they're not going to get Harbaugh. They suck. It's like, no, they can get basically whoever they want because they have one of the most money-making schools. Florida State's the same way in the ACC. They could get anyone they want in the ACC because they're the top dog, whether Clemson likes it or not. Clemson would have to win like five more national championships to change that narrative, I think. Now, I think Dabo might be the best coach in the country. Because Nick Saban, I mean, hasn't won anything since he started to get out recruited by Georgia. Clemson has never been a top recruiting school. So their two national championships, to me, are kind of like miracles. Right?
Yeah.
That might never happen again. But anything else you have? I know we might be long. I don't know how long we've been on. So I apologize. Nah. All right. Thanks for listening. Like I said, anything you want us to hear, football's back, let me know. And we will see you next week.